If you will join me, please, in Matthew 5, as we are working very, not slowly on purpose, but very diligently, and just exploring every word of Christ that he has for us in the Sermon on the Mount. We're in Matthew 5, specifically verses 21 through 26. We know from last week, and where Jesus, he taught, hey, don't think that I've come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. And we've come and last week we looked at things all the way into Genesis and Leviticus and Exodus, and looked at different places where Jesus confirmed those things, and where never did God get to a place and say, oh no, my plan has failed. It's been intentional, and we see it all through Scripture. And then I gave you the challenge that if you have yet to read through the Old Testament, to start that, and hopefully you have done that. And even I went back and I thought, you know what? Let's go into Genesis just one more time. I've read it so many times, but I tell you what, still this week, there's more. You can never just say, I've read it and I'm done with it. I tell you, the revelation of the Holy Spirit just continues to speak through his word, no matter how familiar you think you are with it. And it's just amazing. It's fun. It's fun. And the worst thing about it is having to stop and go do what's next on the schedule. So just get up earlier, right? So hopefully you've done that. But today we're talking about murder, about anger. Jesus is going into different things, and he's taking pieces of the law and he's saying, hey, this is how you've looked at it. Well, this is what it meant. This is what God intended when he gave it to you. And he's one of the things that we'll hear is you've heard it said, and he's talking about the things that we talked about last week, about the Ten Commandments, about the law, about the scribal law. And again, the whole thing is here. You've made this into things that it was never intended to be. And today, talking about murder. Murder is a serious, serious crime. And it's worthy of the judgment that is received by it. There's a penalty, a huge penalty of life, either imprisonment or sometimes even it ends life, and depending on what state and what kind of jury and judge you may get. But murder is severe. Maybe even some of you have connections with and you've been hurt by a loved one or a friend or somebody that you know that's experienced murder or been a part of that on some way. And few would ever compare anger with murder. But that's just exactly what Christ does today. The severity of murder and how we would view it and how we've experienced it, Jesus is saying that it starts in the heart with anger. Let's pray and then we will read. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we open up your word and we look at this passage that is very convicting. Lord, this whole sermon that you've given us so far, Lord, it just keeps radically pressing at the heart. Lord, challenge us, Lord, your disciples. Lord, anoint our ears to hear. Anoint this servant, Lord, to speak what you desire. And may you be glorified through how we implement it and live it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, Matthew 5, verses 21 through 26. It says, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly, I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid the last sent. So here Jesus, he's talking about murder. He takes it all the way to the place of anger, and maybe anger touches the heart of us, many of us here. You know, and I don't know, but we know a lot of these things, they spur it behind closed doors. And maybe even in the workplace, maybe a long time ago we've had an issue with this. I confess there was a time that I had an issue with anger, and the United States Marine Corps really fed on that really well, and it was hurtful. It hurt my marriage. It hurt my reputation, and I just remember the Holy Spirit just convicting me. And then the words, especially in Proverbs, where it said, "You're a fool, you're a fool, you're a fool." Oh, and then just to begin to just consider that and just pray, "Lord, change me and purge me of the deeds of my flesh by filling with the fruits of your Spirit." And God has been faithful in that. And but here, Christ, like I said, he starts off, "You have heard," and he's referencing the commandments that he has shared, that and he brings up the sixth commandment, that of murder. He's talking about his law and the purpose and how he's fulfilled these things. And we know this specific purpose of this law was to protect life. Life is to be respected. Life that is yet to be born, life that exists as we are now, life that is sick, life that is old, all life that exists, it is given by God and it is created in his image and it is his plan. He set it into motion and it is to be respected and it is to be honored and cherished and never to be taken. And here Christ, he explains the intentions of this law. And he breaks it down to the place of anger. Here we tend, man can tend to look at the outward thing. Look at what the anger has done. Look at the murder. Look at the outcome. But Christ looks at the heart. And that is exactly what Jesus is speaking about here, is the heart. That murder, the unjust act of murder, it's born from anger. It starts with anger. Nobody joyfully says, "Hey, I'm going to go and just," well, if they're not right if they do. And you know what I'm saying. But there's anger, there's bitterness, there's unregulated urges, there's an uncontrolled spirit, there's a hostility with somebody that is birthed, that sparks the heart before that person pursues that murder. And this anger, we know anger is just one word, but it can be described in many others, such as bitterness, such as indignation and wrath. It could be striking out verbally and even physically. It is envying. It destroys. It slanders. It tries to destroy the image of a person. And remember, we are all created in the image of God. It is hatred. Sometimes it is a hatred of self. Why can't somebody love somebody other people? Because sometimes they have their own hatred of themselves. It's in a hatred of others. It is rage. It is fury. It is a desiring to hurt, and it is a desire to kill, maybe not physically, but coming against the happiness or the joy of the person to bring somebody to ruin. Oh, we know that the growth of anger is dangerous. We've talked about this, which just sparks, but anger, it grows. It grows, and maybe you've experienced this before where something just sets you off, or maybe we've heard about the needle in the haystack where just one little thing, it just sets. It's just been booming, and it just brews inside of us. It festers. It harbors malice. It just seeks revenge. It holds contempt. It ridicules others, and it just rises out of our pride, and it seeks to destroy. And it will not be happy until it does so. Destroy life, destroy reputation, and destroys everything. And even in the midst of its fury, there may be a still small voice in the back saying, "Settle down, settle down." But the anger and the rage just drives. Well, Jesus is saying maybe nobody has physically died in this. Maybe murder has not been conducted yet or happened yet. But this here is just as bad as we just saw, even deserving the fiery hell. These are the words of Christ. So, but we've been angry before. There's a justified anger. It's possible to be angry and not feel like this. There's a justified anger, and we all will experience it at some times. As a matter of fact, we hope believers would experience some anger that when sin wells up, when injustices happen, when wrongdoings occur, when there is a selfishness that we see that comes up in others and comes in our families and in our church family. This is a justified anger that is disciplined and is controlled. It is possible to be angry and just to lose self-control, but there's also an opportunity to be angry and to speak truth in love in the midst of it. And that is a productive anger. And it is, again, an anger that is disciplined, it is controlled, it is never selfish. It's never selfish. It's never, oh, about me, about why I didn't get what I wanted. It is purposeful, and it seeks to correct a situation peacefully, always. And it's always for a legitimate reason. And we see Jesus, he even got angry with some things. And we're not going to look at that much today. But in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Ephesians 4:26. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. That's Romans 12:18. And so what do we do when we get angry? We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But I'll pray. Oh, Lord, I'm angry. Lord, this has happened. That has happened. Maybe I am selfish in this. And we pray. Maybe you're somebody that likes to write it down and journal and put an exclamation mark and put a dot that goes through three pages of paper. Oh, maybe me, I'm one that likes to walk it out. And what I mean, I walk it out and I go out praying. Lord, guess what? I tell God everything. Everything. Lord, I'm mad. I'm about this, I'm about that, and this. Guess what? Because he can handle it. And he says, hey, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And I tell him, and I'm like, Lord. And as I'm going and I'm walking and I'm like, this person, that person, even you, Lord, this and that. And he's like, but I love you. Remember when you did the same thing? Remember what my word says? Remember this, remember that. And I'm just like, boom. By the end of the walk, I'm just like, Father in heaven, I lift this person up. Lord, forgive me. Lord, let me be your instrument of peace in the midst of this. That's what works for me. But friend, don't react. Don't react. The worst thing that happens whenever anger comes and this comes is a reaction where we react. You will almost always regret your reaction. And the worst thing, oh, believers, members of Perdido Bay Baptist Church and members of other churches, if you're a guest with us today, stay off the Facebook whenever you're angry. As a matter of fact, stay off the Facebook more often. Oh, Facebook, if you're a believer of Christ, if you're using Facebook, it should be a celebration of life. Let me tell you what God has done today. Oh, look at this, look at that. But when we begin to hash out our emotions and on Facebook, friend, I believe that you are in sin before God and you're destroying your testimony. Oh, believers of Perdido Bay Baptist Church, stay off of Facebook with the garbage that you bring. You are not helping the cause of Christ or our mission a bit. A bit. Ah, the phone. Put it down. Get with the Lord first. Twitter. Ah, I wish I could take it from our president. I pray for him. Email. You can't take back an email. Oh, I'm so mad at you. Sin. Boom. It's done. The pain is there. You can't take it back, and it's documented. And later on, the Lord's going to prick your heart, and you're like, oh, man, I sure wish I had some grace in that. The damage is done. The damage is done. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. Don't react, and definitely don't react in such a way where the world can see it. Scripture says you're a fool. You're a fool. I'm going to read some more. I'm going quickly through these. You can write them down. I won't. But now, you must rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Colossians 3:8. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James 1:19. Anyone who hates his brother, listen to this, anyone who hates his brother, we can also say anybody who hates their sister, anybody who hates a person is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. 1 John 3:15, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Psalms 37:8. A quick-tempered man or a quick-tempered woman does foolish things. A crafty man is hated. That's Proverbs 14:17. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Proverbs 16:32. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 19:11. I want to read that again. It's to your glory to overlook an offense. Somebody will hurt your feelings. Somebody will say something that is going to hurt you a different way. Somebody will make a mistake. We're all sinners. I may do it. You may do it to me, but it is to our glory to overlook that offense. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. For anger resides in the lap of fools. Ecclesiastes 7:9. There is nothing good in losing your self-control. I want to look back at Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty of the Supreme Court. And whoever says to you, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Oh, there's a problem with anger. There's a problem with anger, as we've seen here and that we've read and the things that we've looked from the Old and the New Testament and the words of Christ. There's a problem with anger. And the first is that there is an earthly damage. There's earthly damage. There's a damage that comes from anger. We know there is things that result from it. There's legal suits. There's imprisonment. There's tragedy that results from it. And I tell you, anger, when it happens within the church, and it happens for those who are professing disciples of Christ, that there are believers and you would profess that, it is tragic to the mission that we have in Christ. Oh, I tell you what, it hurts families. It hurts families. Listen to this, men, and I might be getting ahead of myself, and that's okay. When it comes to your wife, do you know your prayers are not even heard by God if you do not honor your wife? 1 Corinthians 3:7. Guess what? Those closest to us sometimes get on our nerves the most. And I overheard some teachers talking the other day, and they're over there, and they were talking about their husbands. And I kept hearing a common theme. Oh, I let him live today. I let him live today. I let him live today. And then I jumped in there, and I said, she let me live today. And, men, your prayers aren't even answered. God doesn't even hear your answers if you're not living in a way that honors your wife. That's 1 Peter 3:7. Ladies, how are you living to honor your husbands? That's Ephesians 5:25. Are you living in a way to honor him? And we find that our first act of worship comes into these relationships that we have. It hurts families. Well, you've heard me say it. To get society right, we got to get the church right. To get the church right, we got to get the family right. To get the family right, we got to get the what right? Marriage right. To get a marriage right, we got to get who right? A man. I say a man because I can't do much for a woman one-on-one. But for maybe the ladies, what y'all are doing on Thursday night, get a lady right. And it all starts there individually. Oh, but coming back to anger and the way we act, it damages our testimony. I mean, can you imagine being a hothead in the workplace and then trying to profess Christ to somebody? You know, I've heard people say, hey, you know, I still love God, but I don't love the church. Why is that? Because some of the stuff that comes out of believers, are we perfect? No, we're not. But here, Jesus has given us a helper in the Holy Spirit that allows us to be. We also know it damages the church. It causes the weak brother to turn away. It causes fights, wars, and sufferings, and even leads to death whenever it goes too far. So yeah, there's earthly damage that anger creates. But there's also a worship disconnect. And that is where I should have brought in the wife and the man here. It's the way you live. The way you live each and every moment with those that are closest to you. Some of us in here may not know that you have an anger issue, but maybe because it's behind closed doors. Oh, and we drive up here. We've talked about it before. The miracle of the parking lot. Oh, we come in and, man, it's just been a horrible morning for whatever reason. Just a terrible morning. And then you get in here and, well, glory to God, Brother Lonnie. Oh, come on, friend. That is just, the Holy Spirit can't have any part of that. There's a worship disconnect. That is one reason that we started doing the prayer of confession. First thing, we do announcements. We get all that stuff out of the way, the housekeeping stuff. And then we come to a place where I give you a moment to say, God, you know what? This morning's been horrible. I've gotten angry. I couldn't find the baby's shoes. All I found was 3 left ones. You ever been there? And we were late, and we were running late, and I burnt my egg, and I'm still mad about last night, and this or that or whatever. And because you cannot worship if you haven't come to that place of confession. And so that's why we have that time. Say, oh, God, you know what I'm struggling with. Lord, you know the selfishness in me. Lord, you know the poor decisions I make. Lord, forgive me. And friend, I even invite you to come up front if you need to. I invite you to grab your neighbor and say, hey, will you pray for me? Because I need it today. I need to lean on you. I need a brother or sister to help me through this morning. I encourage you to do that. May we become that type of family. Oh, but it breaks our fellowship with God. Look at what he says in verse 23 through 24. Jesus is speaking. Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, I mean, you're right there about to worship, and there you remember your brother has something against you. Look at what Jesus says. He said, hey, don't give your offering and then go make amends. No, he says, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Well, there's an earthly damage and there is a worship disconnect. God has nothing to do with you while you are living in a state of sin, in a state of anger. Oh, we got to come to a place of repentance, a place of mercy and grace and forgive others. And then we come to also what we see here is an eternal danger. I mean, look at what Christ said. Here at the end of 22, he says, you fool, you shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Man, there again, calling an angry person a fool. If you are a person that loses your temper often, think about this every time you do. You are a fool. You're a fool. And I'm not trying to be mean to you, but I tell you, when I was a young guy, that helped me. That every time I got done and the green guy came back to David Banner, if you know what I'm talking about, I was like, man, you're a fool. And I had to go repent. You're a fool. You're a fool. You feel yourself about to lose it. You're about to be a fool. Jesus said it. David said it. Others say it. Solomon said it. And he's wise. Well, Jesus is wiser, but y'all really don't know what happens up here when I get out here. But again, it's an eternal danger. Look, life doesn't last. Life doesn't last. Oh, our family this week, we're experiencing the reality that life doesn't last. The physical life, your existence, will come to an end. That's a promise. It's in Scripture. This physical life is for a period, and its purpose is so that we can come to a place of redemption, a place of where we find Jesus. He washes us of our sin. We come to a place of faith through God's beckoning. Oh, thank you for his grace. And then we come and we live our life for him. And then we let our light shine. And when we become the salt of the earth, and we let the Holy Spirit work through us through our different spiritual gifts to bring other people along with us. That's its purpose. That is why we exist on this earth. Oh, life doesn't last, but we know, and because life doesn't last, the final judgment is coming. For many of us in here, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a rejoiceful day. I think some of us, it's still going to be a rejoiceful day, and we're going to come to a place and we're going to enter into eternal life. But from what we read in 1 Corinthians 3, that the things that we've kind of built on, this foundation of Christ, it's going to be burned away. And that's going to be, I imagine, a little bit of sadness, because now we can't offer that to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Oh, the way you live is important. It is valuable every single moment, even when you're alone, especially when you're alone. But look at what Jesus said in verse 22. Again, I just read that. Guilty of the fiery hell. And then in verse 26, he's sharing a little bit of a parable here. Not a little bit. He's sharing a parable here. And the picture is here, somebody being hauled off to debtor's prison, bankruptcy and things like that, and credit card debt being written off and things like that. That didn't exist in this time. That doesn't exist in all societies. And so here you are thrown into jail until somebody pays the last cent for you. And oftentimes that never gets paid, and you die in jail in debtor's prison here. And so we see this in verse 26, where he is saying, truly, truly, I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. Only Jesus can pay the last cent. Only Jesus can redeem you from sin. And friend, once you make it to this point, the redemption plan is over. It's over. This is the time. If you're struggling with anger now, if you're struggling with hurting people, if there's hurt relationships, now, today, is the day to get it taken care of. How are we doing? Oh, so we got the problem of anger. We know the answer. There is an answer to anger. There's an answer to anger, and it's reconciliation. It's reconciliation. Oh, two things that Christ points out here is first that reconciliation, it should be urgent. It should be urgent. Look at this parable. Let's go back to it again, where he says, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge. They are on the way to the court date. He says, make friends with him. Do all that you can. Apologize, make it right, and the judge to the officer, and then you to you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, as we just read, you will not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. It is urgent. It is urgent. Make friends quickly with your opponent. Oh, what does it mean to be a friend? It means to love, to come in with authentic repentance. Please forgive me. Always. And as we said, this even, it precedes worship, as we just read back in those things, that hey, if there is something against you, get it right. Get it right right now. As a matter of fact, if you, as she's standing up, I thought I was at right now, if you got to get up and leave and make it right. I thought she was about to leave. I was like, go for it. It precedes worship. Listen to this. A break with a person is a break with God. And unforgiveness means that you are unforgiven by God. We find that in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, if you do not forgive other people, then I will not forgive you. Is there anybody in your life, even maybe 20 years ago, maybe even longer than that, maybe somebody who hurt you really, 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 really bad when you were a child, or sometime in your life, somebody who got you fired, somebody hurt you physically, somebody hurt you mentally, somebody hurt you emotionally? Are you still harboring that? I tell you, that has to be dealt with through the grace of God. Not being right with others is not being right with God. Broken fellowship with others is a broken fellowship with God. That is so clear. Some people Some people even stay away from the church because of something against a brother. Some people move around to churches. Oh, I got mad with them, so I moved over there. And so we had this happen like a couple months ago. And I'm kicking myself, and I need to call them up because I did not counsel them in light of this. They said, Pastor, we're leaving the church, and so-and-so hurt my feelings because they didn't say hey to me, and they said something in jest that hurt our feelings. That's a true story. That's a true story. And I need to call them back, and I need to say, friend, your worship is invalid. Your worship is not worship until you forgive these things. I need to call them. Maybe you're here because somebody at your other church has hurt your feelings in some way. They said something. They did something stupid. They guess what? It's going to happen here. At some point, we got to forgive. Friend, you cannot worship the living God and glorify his name and do the things that we've sung about until you come to a place that says, Lord, he or her, they have hurt me. I'm angry about this. Lord, help me forgive. I cannot do it in my own strength because the deeds of my flesh, Lord, may your fruits of your spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, Lord, and self-control help me in this matter so I can get by it. Oh, you have to. You got to deal with it. There's too much at stake. Oh, verse 25, make friends quickly with your opponent. Brings us to the next one. Reconciliation should be attempted immediately. Immediately. As soon as you get out of whatever is happening, or maybe somebody got angry with you. Oh, what did we read from Romans 12? As far as it concerns you, be at peace with everyone. You can't control how somebody else reacts, but you, are you doing what's right? Oh, come and forgive me for whatever I have done. In verse 25, it says, while you were with him, we just read a few minutes ago out of Ephesians 4, before the sun goes down. Oh, anger's got to be dealt with him. I've emphasized more of an anger that can be explosive. But an anger can also be not talking to somebody. Oh, I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going to unfriend them. I'm going to take their phone number out of my phone. I'm going to scratch them out of the church directory. And maybe it's your spouse. I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to talk to them until whatever. I'm going to make them suffer. Maybe you're not thinking that, but that's what you're doing. Oh, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it now. You're not promised tomorrow before the sun goes down. I tell you, you will not regret forgiving somebody, but you may come to a place where you do regret not forgiving them. You may regret not making that phone call. And friend, it's like, well, I'll write a card. With what we see here in Scripture, that it needs to be urgent and immediate, I got a feeling that we can't be waiting on snail mail to get it to them. We got to go to them. We got to go to them and get face to face. I tell you, relationships are better when they're face to face. And say, friend, please forgive me. Or friend, sometimes we've got to go the other way. I've caused you to be angry in some way, and please forgive me for whatever I did, but your response has affected me this way. Please forgive me. Oh, it's reconciliation. It's truth and love, and don't go if you haven't prayed. Oh, again, you can't afford to have this type of barrier that anger brings. And imagine this dying before reconciliation can take place. And then imagine eternal life, getting up before the Lord in judgment and having sin, unrepented sin that you got to answer for. How does that work? I'm saved by grace. And you know what? I don't want to stand before the Lord with unrepentant sin. And that the truth of this scripture, Jesus is saying some pretty radical, serious things here. Don't mess around. I take these scriptures here, and for those of us that want to say, well, I won't even go there, do what's right. Do what's right, because that's a whole other thing that's going to open some other stuff that we don't have time to deal with. Don't wait. Don't wait. Your big idea today, and as we're wrapping it up, your big idea comes from Ephesians 4. I just there's a scripture that God put on my heart, and I want our big idea not to be words that I could sum all this up in, but a big idea, what you need to go and leave and do with out of Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. You can either write the whole scripture down that's going to be on the board, or you can just write those passages, the references down. This is what we read in Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So the altar call today, the things that you need to do today. First, repent to God if there's any of this in you. Repent to God and pray for strength from the Holy Spirit to not live according to that, and for strength through the Holy Spirit to go to do what is right. And if there's anything, as we've seen, it's urgent, it's immediate, we got to pursue it, we got to go now, leave this place and do whatever it takes to make it right with whoever you may have an issue with. Oh, it's in Scripture, it's clear. Before the sun goes down. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the clarity of your word. Lord, the direction and the guidance that you give us. And Lord, as I think about this and the commands that you've given us, I can't imagine, Lord, the pain that could possibly be in the hearts of these people who are listening. Lord, I don't know what's happened in their past. I don't know what kind of damage that they've encountered. I don't know what kind of damage that they have done. I don't know, Lord, I don't know, but you do, Lord. And I pray, Lord, it's my heart's desire, Lord, that we be a church, Lord, that is united in you. And Lord, if there's any separation that we have from you as a body, Lord, because of unconfessed sin with things that are in our anger, or if there's anything that anybody has against us, I pray, Lord, that today, through the conviction of your Holy Spirit, that you would lead us to repentance and making this right before the sun goes down. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.